Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, it is a heat wave and we're all baking in the hot weather this week. Temperature records on the island of Ireland are broken. Many of you will have taken to the coasts and other spots to find a cooling breeze and maybe take a dip. What a difference a few degrees make. Well, here to talk about the science of heat, temperature and keeping cool is physicist Dr. Shane Bergen from the UCD School of Education. Good morning, Shane. You're very welcome. So the baseline question here is, what is heat?
We all know about it these days, don't we?
We know what it feels like. What is it?
So it's a transfer of energy. What do I mean by that? If you put your cold steak on your hot barbecue, you'll know that it doesn't take too long for the steak to get hot. And so what's happening there is that there's heat transferred from the warm barbecue into your steak. And as its temperature rises, it becomes edible and suitable for you to eat. It was long thought that when we were heating things up, that we were somehow adding a mysterious substance to the hot material. And that's where the word calorie actually comes from. So physicists had hypothesized that this mysterious substance was called caloric. And they looked and looked and looked to see could they find it, so that they'd take a hot piece of metal and a cold piece of metal and see did one way different to the other. Mm-hmm. And of course, they found that it didn't exist. And it took a lot more thinking, including some from a great Irish physicist called Kelvin, Lord Kelvin William Thomson from Belfast. And they discovered that as things heat up, what's happening is that their constituent bits and pieces, the molecules and atoms, are wiggling about more. So a hotter object is one that has more energy in it. And that is manifested in how the atoms and molecules are moving. And so something that's hot has a lot of wiggling about going on within it. And as you heat it, you're putting more energy into it.
Okay, so say we have water in a pot and we heat that up over a flame or on a hob. We're just wiggling the molecules around and the atoms.
Absolutely. So you take your glass of water, throw it in your saucepan, stick it on the gas, and what you're doing is putting energy into that water, and the water is responding by shaking about more. And of course, it'll eventually get to the point where that shaking will allow the water molecules to escape from one another, and it'll turn from a liquid into a gas that's boiling. Of course, you could take your water and go the opposite direction. You can put it in the fridge or the freezer. And in that situation, what you're doing is you're taking heat out of it. You're cooling it down. And you can continue to do that if you had an amazing freezer. And they have them in the labs and anywhere that has COVID vaccines at the moment. They need to be kept ultra cold. You can keep cooling things down. And eventually, it won't have any more energy to give. And so there's an absolute zero when it comes to
everything stops moving, yes. The atoms and molecules.
Yeah. Now, that has never been achieved. We've gotten to within a billionth of a degree to absolute zero, which is -273 degrees Celsius. But we haven't ever reached there. So we've never reached the point where something has completely stopped.
So when the water becomes ice, the atoms and molecules are still moving.
They are, quite a bit. Yeah. So you can have ice at 0 degrees. And of course, you'll remember, it's hard to remember at this stage where we have 30 degree heat. About 10 years ago, we had a real cold snap when it was close to -20. And I remember colleagues who'd lived in North America saying that the snow and ice starts to change when you get to that point. It actually physically is different. So it's due to less movement within it and a rearrangement of the ice crystals within the snow.
It's harder.
Yeah, and it sounds different, you know, which is incredible. But gosh, that we can only dream of such things in a day like today, a 50 degree difference.
Well, look, because it's so warm, we wanted to ask you whether science can offer any advice to people who are trying to cool down.
Yeah, it can. The first thing, and I suppose it's like there are three fundamental laws here of thermodynamics that scientists talk about. The first thing is find something cool and get close to it, right? So what will happen there is that your heat energy will be transferred to the cool object until you're both the same temperature. So of course, you have to think about what type of object you want to get close to. So if you were to go into a supermarket, you might go down the fridge aisle and you go, God, this is lovely. It's 12 degrees. And you say it's a little bit of respite. However, if you were to compare that with jumping in the sea, which is not far north above 12 degrees at the moment, you'd know that you get colder a lot quicker. And that's because water is far more efficient at transferring heat than air is. Air is actually a really good insulator. Air doesn't transfer heat very well. So when you're in the desert, it can be 50 degrees and it doesn't feel quite as warm as if you're in Ireland at 25 degrees where it's far more humid, or somewhere tropical, like if you've gone anywhere close to the equator, like Singapore, where it's 30 degrees and you feel like I'm absolutely cooked at this temperature. So you want to go somewhere where you can transfer that energy out of you. So getting in the sea is a wonderful idea.
That's
to
why
cool
we
down.
Can't catch our breath when we jump in the sea and it feels so cold.
Yeah, because the difference between you and a cold sea of below 5 degrees is huge. And so all of the heat from your extremities is lost immediately. Your body goes into shock and it starts to protect the key organs. Of course, you can train yourself to swim in the sea and be quite safe, but you have to be careful when jumping in to cold water. I know they do it a lot in Scandinavia when they come out of the saunas, but I also know that that does result in quite a lot of heart attacks.
Oh gosh, okay, so people should be careful. Do you do sea swimming as a matter
of interest? I do, it wouldn't have been something I did a lot of, but my fiance is very keen on it and we've done a lot of it over lockdown. We live close to the sea and it's just so wonderful to get in this time of year.
You know that sensation though when you get into really cold water and you can feel the heat of your organs because your skin is so cold. Have you ever experienced that?
I've experienced so many emotions when you get into the sea. And I can tell you, being a physicist is not one of them that comes to mind. It's normally keep moving and get out.
So listen, when it comes to consumption then, can a hot drink cool you down? Not what you'd expect, but does that happen?
Well, this is the classic. And my brother Philip is a keen tea drinker, you know, one of these kind of 20 cups a day people. And he said he was almost afraid to have a cup of tea this week because he thought it'll just push me over the edge. But in fact, there has been research done to say that when you drink tea, it causes you to sweat. And of course, sweating is one of the most efficient ways for us to cool down. So when we want to cool down, what we do is we excrete liquid water onto our skin and that evaporates and it carries away some of the heat energy from our bodies, leaving us cooler. So a good way to cool down is to sweat. Now, most people would say, I don't want to sweat. But what they mean is, I don't want to get into a situation where I'm sweating. So I want to just stay cool in the first place. So I suppose that's the most sensible thing to do, is just not go outside in the direct sun. Or if you're outside, make sure you're in the shade, make sure you're close to the sea where there's a breeze, and stay out of the direct sun. Because when it's 30 degrees, the sun is incredibly intense this time of year. You know, we in Ireland think when the sun shining, let's just head out. We do have to be mindful when the thermometer goes above 25. You kind of don't want to be out in the sun at midday.
So everyone I've spoken to over the last couple of days, they tell me what the thermometer in their car says the temperature is, and I've been told it's 31 here today, and then I look at the official records and I think, well, actually it wasn't. So can we read into that the car thermometers aren't accurate?
They're almost always wrong on a warm sunny day, and that's because they don't have a very sophisticated thermometer within them. There's something called a thermistor, and so it's picking up and heat radiating from the ground below it. The best thing to do is have a look at met.ie.
Shane, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed. Don't be telling us about your car thermometer readings. We don't want to know. Today's show was produced by Alistair McConnell. Andrew Dupuyre was our broadcast coordinator. Mark McGrath was on sound. Research by Niamh Lyons. We'll chat to you tomorrow morning at 10, but now it's over to Ronan Collins.